All right, Shabbos say good morning. Today's daf is Yud Aleph. We are going to pick up from the top line of Yud Aleph, Amar Rav Nachman. Our shir this morning is dedicated by Paul and Kathy Pollack in honor of the Yartzeitz of Paul's parents, Shmuel ben Zechariah and Sarah bas Avram. We hope they are the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Neshamosav and Aliyah and the family Nechama. We, of course, also important to dedicate our learning in the Zuchus of the Aliyah, the Neshama, you know, the terrible terror attack in California, the Chabad yesterday. You know, it's amazing. I was reading this morning that two of the people wounded, an 8-year-old girl and her uncle, were actually two Israelis who left Sderot because they could not take the constant bombardment of the rockets. And Baruch Hashem, they're both okay. They're in stable condition, an 8-year-old girl and her uncle. And, you know, a woman who was Nebuch killed, a rabbi who was injured. And we have to, we sometimes forget how much we need HaKadosh Baruch Hu's protection, because as much as we could take the necessary precautions with security and everything else, it's hard to protect against maniacally crazy people. And on the same day that the New York Times, or there before afterwards, ran a terribly anti-Semitic cartoon, which was just incredibly reckless and irresponsible, we have to be vigilant, and we need a lot of tefillah, a lot of advocacy, our hishtadlos, our tefillos, everything together. Kadosh Baruch Hu should just give an aliyah to the neshama. I don't know the name of the woman who was killed in the attack yesterday. Kadosh Baruch Hu should give her neshama an aliyah, and should give the cholim a complete and enduring refuah. And once with that, let's begin. Amar Rav Nachman, halacha kedivrei chachamim. So we'll say we have actually a very interesting sugya today. So Rav Nachman says that the halacha follows the position of the chachamim. Now Rashi points out, this is in the last wide lines on top, d'pidyono b'seh kolduhu, that halacha l'maisa, when going ahead and redeeming a seh, when redeeming a chamor, when redeeming a donkey, ultimately, again, you could use a seh of any amount. The value of the seh is irrelevant. So the Gemara says, v'kama, okay, but still, when you say any amount, and we're saying halacha is all about shi'urim. So when we say any amount, what does any amount actually mean? Amrav Yosef, afilu patruza bardanko. So we'll say, literally translated, Rashi says, is patruza means a seh kachush, even a very thin and frail seh, bar danko, that is so small, Rashi says, she'eno shava elama shushesus dinar, that is so small that it's only worth 1/6 of a dinar. So patruza means it's very thin, very frail, that's only worth a danko, a sixth of a dinar. Amarava, afana namitani. Rava said, we also learned this, godol v'katon. Ultimately, again, you could redeem a chamor with a sed that is godol, that is large, or that is small. Pshita, that's obvious. So, what would I have thought? Kule high, low. So, we'll say, I might have thought as following. Maybe even though we see that you could redeem a chamor with a seh that is gadol or katan, then maybe even katan has a ceiling. Oh, not ceiling, what do you call it? A floor. Right? It has a floor. In other words, yes, but it could be an inexpensive seh. But ultimately, again, the seh has to still be something that's substantive. Inami patruzalo, or maybe even if you wanted to say that it's an inexpensive seh, maybe at the end of the day you can't use a thin, or almost like, it's almost like painting a picture of like a more sickly type of seh. Kamash molano, bosakashan da'alocha literally seems to be that inachinami, when it comes to a seh, you are permitted to go ahead and redeem a chamor with a seh of any value. And I will say, this is exceptionally important for us, because again, this is the sugya we're going to develop. We'll say, boy, the Gemara is holding right now, Rav Nachman tells us, that the incredible novelty is, although whenever we speak about pinyon, whenever we speak about the concept of redemption, when it comes to consecrated items, redemption usually means what? That you are redeeming something for its value. Right? I go ahead and I donate a piece of wood to the Beis HaMikdash, and then I'd like to redeem it back for my personal use. What do I have to do? So I will say, first of all, not only do I have to redeem it for its value, but generally there's a surcharge on hektish redemption as well. The great novelty over here is that halacha lemaisa, all I need is a seh, and the seh's value need not be linked to the value of the chamor. Incredible. Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya. Here we go. Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya, havalei peter chamor. So Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya one time had a firstborn donkey. Shadra the kamed Rabbi Tarfon, he sent it before Rabbi Tarfon. Amarle kama ba'ina lemesav lekohen. So he was asking him, how much do I have to give to the kohen? Meaning what he was asking is, the sheep that I'm going out and going to give to the Kohen, how much does it have to be worth? Amrlei, Hare Amru, the rabbi said, Ayin Yafa B'Sela. If you're generous, you should give a sheep worth a Sela. Ayin Ra, if you're stingy, B'Shekel, a sheep worth a shekel. Beinonis, B'Ragya. If you're a middle of the roader, right? Not stingy, but not too generous. Ragya. Ultimately, again, some amount in between. And Rava said, Hilchasa B'Ragya. Ideally, when going out and giving a sheep for Petach Hamar, you should give something that's worth a ragya. V'kama, how much is a ragya? Tlasa zuzi. Ultimately, three zuzim. Ragil hacha v'ragil hacha. Rashi says, Hover pachos misela v'yoser mishekel. A little bit less than a sela, and a little bit more than a shekel. But I will say, what do you see over here? Kashi hilchasa hilchasa. But this is a contradiction. What do we just get finished saying? We just got finished saying that the set you give to the coin for the pidyon petach hamar must be worth what? Whatever you want. Right? Afilu partuza. Right? Even, or I should say patruza. Even a small, thin, sickly sheep. Now we're saying that ideally, it should be a ragya. Right? A little bit less than a sela, a little bit more than a shakas. So what's going on over here? This is amazing. Hokasha, kan beba limlach, kan ba osame atzma. You know, Rebbe said, this is what they say. Always be careful what shilas you ask, right? Sometimes better to do first and ask later, right? Conventional wisdom. Right? So what does this mean? This is actually very interesting. This is, the Gemara makes the following distinction. If someone comes and asks, and they say, you know what, how much should the set be worth that is used for the pigyon petach hamar, the halacha is not going to encourage them to use a thin and sickly seh. What the halacha will encourage them to do is to do something that's nichubad, to do something that's appropriate. What's appropriate? The shear that the Gemara calls over here, the ragya, which is a seh that is worth less than a selah, but more than a shekel. But if you don't ask, and you just use any seh to redeem the petach hamar, what's going to be the halacha? It works. So we'll say very interesting. So therefore, we'll say what this tells you, by the way, what this tells you is something very important, which is that halacha, so something you have to distill these things down to the core halacha. The core halacha seems to be, and what we'll see in the Shulchan Aruch just a little bit, the core halacha is a set of any value is fit for redemption. That is the core halacha. The more lechatchila dikadin is that we'd like you to use a set that has some type of significant worth. What's the basic halachic threshold for significant worth? What the Agmar identifies as the ragya, less than a sela, more than a shekel. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Amar Reish Lakish, Mishi Yesh Lo Petach Hamar Ve'in Lo Selef Tos. We'll say these are very interesting halachas. What happens if someone has a Petach Hamar, but he doesn't have a set? You know, Stuart Schindel asked me this over Yom Tov. We're talking about this. So you mentioned this is interesting because when you think about Petach Hamar, this presupposes like you have a sheep. You have a sheep in your possession. Well, I don't have a sheep, right? I don't have a sheep. So what is this? Rosa, you hear this? When we take it for granted that you redeem the firstborn Hamar with a sheep, and it sounds so natural. Sure, you just go to the backyard and get a sheep. What happens if I don't have a sheep? So here we go. So Misha Yishla Petach Hamar Ve'en Lo Selef Doso. If someone has a Petach Hamar firstborn donkey, but he doesn't have a sheep, so what's the halacha? Podeo b'shavyav. He could redeem the donkey for its full value. And then I both say, now what we're doing over here is introducing something different. If you do not, what the Gemara is suggesting over here is as follows. You just got finished saying, if you use a seh, the basic halacha tells you how much must the seh be worth? Any amount you want. However, you have the opportunity or the option to redeem a donkey with something other than a set. Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. Yudaf Amud Aleph. Right across from Tosis Vigonev. Viganov or Vigonev. So therefore again, Rabbi Yitzchak says in the Rosh Lakish, if someone has a Petach Hamar, but he doesn't have a sheep, he can redeem the donkey with whatever he wants. But if you are redeeming the donkey with something other than a sheep, Rabbi Osai, then what? You have to redeem the donkey for its full value. To which the Gemara says, well, Laman, in accordance with whose opinion is this being stated? Ilem with Rabbi Huda, if you want to say it's Rabbi Huda, Ha'amarik Pida Lav Torah B'Seh, Rabbi Huda went on record as saying what? That Allah Alamai Zid Dafka have to use a Seh for redemption and can't use something else. Ella L'Rabbi Shimon. Rather, it must be according to Rabbi Shimon. So also here's the issue of Acha Masni Hachi. So this is how Rav Acha recorded the conversation. Ravina Kashile Rabbi Huda v'Rabbi Shimon Halacha k'Rabbi Huda. So one second. First of all, when we have a Machlokes Rabbi Huda Rabbi Shimon, general the Halacha follows Rabbi Huda. V'stam lan tana k'Rabbi Huda. And again, if you have a Stam Mishnah over here, it also reflects the view ultimately of Rabbi Huda va'at amrat halacha k'Rabbi Shimon, and now you're trying to say that halacha follows Rabbi Shimon. So the Gemara says ella afilu tim Rabbi Huda. Rather, again, the Gemara is suggesting that this halacha should be even in accordance with the position of Rabbi Huda. We'll take a look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says Rabbi Huda Rabbi Shimon halacha k'Rabbi Huda be'erivin parak b'shetzu stam lam demasisi k'Rabbi Huda the aser lepeter chamor ba'na. But remember again, Rabbi Huda is of the opinion that peter chamor is aser ba'na. Diktani mafish tolav kuli sura. So we'll say now here we go. So the Gemara says afilu teimor Rabbi Huda lo yei chamor min ahekdish. The truth is peter chamor should be no more chamor than stam hekdish. So we'll say, what does that mean? Look at Rashi. Chamor min ahekdish, shepodeo bekesef b'shav yavna. We'll say it's very interesting. The Gemara is entertaining is maybe there's a havamina that pidyon peter chamor should only be redeemable with a seh. To which the Gemara says, that can't be. Because why should peter chamor be any more chamor than any other case of hekdish? And when it comes to hekdish, Rabbi Osai, what can you redeem hekdish with? Pretty much anything, but certainly with money. So if you could redeem stam hekdish with money, certainly you should be able to redeem peter chamor with money as well. So therefore, if that's the case, so why does the Torah go out of it? See, we'll say, it's very easy to think that you could only go ahead and redeem peter chamor with the seh. Why would it be easy to think that? Well, because that's what the pasuk says. So if you're going to tell me now that no, Torah is not telling you have to use a seh. Torah is telling you you can use a seh. But I understand. Don't say anything. Don't say anything. And I would know that I could redeem the peter chamor with a seh or with money. Why did this Torah single out seh? Well, say this is amazing. V'lo amra Torah b'selah hachmir alav ela lahakel alav. Wow. The Torah only mentions seh, Rabbi Osai, not as a chumrah, but as a kula. Rabbi Osai, what does that mean? What's the chumrah? What's the kula? Right? I would say, what's the kula? Rabbi Osai, the kula is as we just said before. Look at Rashi. Lach mir alav. Rashi says, shelo yipadeo ela b'seh, ela lahakil alav. Din podeo b'seh, yachol lifdoso b'pachruza. Wow. Rabbi Osai, here we go. The Torah mentions a seh to be makil. What's the kula? The kula is that if you use a seh to redeem a chamor, what's the halacha? The seh could be worth anything. Can you redeem a chamor with other items? Yes. But in that case, then you have to redeem it with what? Like value items. So we'll say, so this is the great novelty over here, the great chiddush by Peter Chamor. A seh, you can get away with a seh of any value. Any value. Anything else could be used for pidyon Peter Chamor, but whatever other item you're using, ultimately, again, must reflect the value of the Chamor. Incredible. Incredible. So the Gemara says, Rav Nachman, Rav Yosef, here's an example of this. Parik le bishilki bishavyav. Boser Rav Nachman used to go ahead and redeem, or would redeem a peter chamor, with vegetables, greens, but he would have to use the value of greens corresponding to the value of the donkey. So we'll say, so this is indeed the halacha lemais. Listen to what the Shulchan Aruch says, Rav Yosef. This is in Hilchos Peter Chamor, Shulchan Aruch Yaradeya, Simen Shin Chaf Aleph Sif Hei. Im Ein Lo Seh Liftoso, if you do not have a seh, if you don't have a seh in order to redeem your donkey, so you could go po de b'shaviyav, you could go ahead and redeem the donkey with any item of like value. Va'az yachol iftosa b'chol davar, v'nosein damav l'koin, lo amra tor lahachmir alav, the Torah did not say you have to use a seh, to be machmir on you, elo, lahakil alav, to be mekil, shim hayelo petrach amar sheshava asar eslaim, because if you have a firstborn donkey that is worth 10 selah, Yeshlo liftoso b'seh shava dinar. You could even redeem it with a seh that is only worth a dinar. So we'll say then the Shulchan Aruch goes on to some of the other values, which is not important for us. Now, the Shulchan Aruch does mention the idea that Allah HaLamai said the seh should have some minimum value. That makes it at least something that's mechubad. That makes it something respectable. But I will say, by Me'ikra, I didn't just see walk away with the halacha lemaisa. The din of being poda, a pidyon, a peter chamor with the seh is a kula. You could use a seh that is worth anything, should have some minimal value. Can you redeem the Petach Hamor with other items? Yes, but if using other items, those items must reflect the actual value of the Hamor. Incredible. Weiter. Amar Rav Shizmi, Amar Rav Huna. Great sugyas. Hapode Petach Hamor Shel Chavero, Pidyon HaPadver. But listen to this. If you redeem someone else's donkey, you're just in a good mood. It's Isru Chag, right? Baruch Hashem, you had a good yamtiv. You have some leftover Shmura Matzah. Which rather, Bosa, just as an aside, don't throw away your leftover Shmura Matzah if you have some. Pesach Sheni. There's a big inyan to go ahead and have Shmura Matzah. So again, people are very quick to throw it out. Don't throw it out. That was just a... That's just bonus information. It's like a bonus track on today's shiur, right? So that's a, yeah, it's good. Save it. So also, here we go. So the Gemara says, "Arav Shizmi, Arav Huna, Hapol de Petach Amor Shachaveiro Pidyon HaPadoy." If you redeem your friend's donkey, ultimately the donkey is redeemed. Say Boilu. So also, the Gemara asks a Shaila, Pidyon HaPoda, Odilma Pidyon HaLebailim. Both is a very interesting shaila. So now, two pieces of information. Piece of information number one, Reuven has a firstborn donkey. I go ahead and I redeem his donkey for him. Simple case. I give the coin a seh on behalf of Reuven's donkey. Now, what's the shaila? Who gets to keep the donkey? Right? Is the redeemed donkey Reuven's property or is the redeemed donkey my property? So watch this. To which the Gemara says, "Aliba de Reb Shimon lo tibay lecha." So according to Reb Shimon, this is not a kasha. Why not? Kevan damar muter ba'ana mamona de baylenu. So let's remember again, we had Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon's shita is that the chamor, even before it's redeemed, is muter ba'ana. If it's muter ba'ana, what does that tell you? That it's the property of Reuven, of the actual owner. So certainly, even though I'm doing a tova by redeeming it on Reuven's behalf, it's certainly Reuven's donkey. Where does the shaila come up? Kiti baylecha alibud Rabbi Yehuda. Da'ala aser ba'ana. It was said, the shaila is coming to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda holds that a donkey is aser ba'ana. Firstborn donkey is aser ba'ana. So what's the shaila? So alibud Rabbi Yehuda amar aser ba'ana. Lehekdish medamile. So do we compare the donkey to regular hekdish? V'rachmana amar v'nasan ha'kesef v'kam lo. It was said, when it comes to stam hekdish, what's the halacha? Whoever redeems the item from Hekdish becomes what? Becomes the owner. Therefore, if I go ahead and I redeem Reuven's donkey, the donkey is mine. Oh, Dilma, Kevan de Konile Beni Ubeni, Lo Dami Le Hekdish. Or Rabbo said, do we say what? Look at Rashi. Oh, Dilma, Kevan de Koni, Hai Peter Hamar, Lahai de Beni Ubeni, De Yachol if Dosa Vese, Afa Gavdolo Konile Kozman Shlopado, Afa Afilu Aching Amor de Deu. Or do we say, Rabbo say what? Since Reuven has the ability at any time himself to redeem that donkey with the seh, it's as if it is already his velo dami lahekdish, and therefore it's not going to be about that. Shabbos to see here the shayla. According to Rabbi Shimon, who says that the donkey is motor ba'ana, it's clear that even though I'm redeeming it, it belongs to Reuven. According to Rabbi Hudu, says that it's aser ba'ana. So do we say that a donkey is like hekdish, and whoever redeems hekdish is the owner of hekdish, and therefore if I redeem the donkey, it's my donkey? Or do we say no, but since Reuven had the ability to also redeem it with a seh, even though I proactively do it first, halacha l'maisa, it is his. Rab Nachman, Tashma, here we go. Hagonev peter chamor shechavero, mishalim teshlemi kefel lebailim. Very interesting. Both say, here's the case. If I go ahead and I steal Reuven's firstborn donkey, Reuven has a donkey, firstborn donkey, that he has not yet redeemed. I go ahead and I steal it from him. What's the halacha? I pay him kefal. Both say, what does that show you? Because even though Reuven right now is not considered to be what? The actual owner of the donkey, because technically speaking, before he redeems it, it's really whose property? So the Kohen's property, nevertheless, halacha l'maisa, because ultimately he can redeem it and own it, it's as if it is his right now. Money. So we'll say it can't be Rabbi Shimon, because remember again, Rabbi Shimon is the one who says that the Petach Hamor, even before redemption, is muter ba'ana to the owner. So according to Rabbi Shimon Rabbi Oseh, it is clear that Reuven is the owner of this donkey from the beginning. El pshita Rabbi Yehuda. Rather, it must be it's Rabbi Yehuda. And if you want to say that according to Rabbi Yehuda, a peter chamor before it's redeemed is like any other item of hekdish, if that's the case, the gonev mi beis ha'ish amarechmon avala mi beis ha'ekdish, you're only chayif kefil if what? If you steal from another person, but you are not chayif kefil if you steal from hekdish. So we'll say, so what do you see from here? You see from here that even according to Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that a pater chamor is aser bano, from an ownership perspective, even Rabbi Yehuda agrees that who is the owner of the pater chamor? It's Reuven in this case, right? The owner of the donkey. He is still considered to be the owner. V'haraya, therefore what? If I go ahead and I steal that unredeemed donkey from Reuven, I have to pay kefil. And who does that kefil go to? It goes to Reuven. Therefore, Rabbi Oseh Halacha Lemaisa, coming full circle, if I redeem that donkey, I redeem Reuven's donkey, I give a set to the Kohen, and now Reuven's donkey is redeemed, who is the owner of the donkey? Reuven. Halacha Lemaisa, v'su lo midi, to which the Gemara says, and there is nothing else to speak about over here. And Rabbi Oseh, this is how the Shulchan Aruch paskins as well over here. The Rambam paskins this way, that halacha lemaisa, if you go ahead and you redeem someone's peter chamar on their behalf, you've done a very shkoyach. You got your mitzvah for the day, but the donkey is not yours. The donkey is not yours. The donkey is the possession, ultimately, again, of, we'll call it, the original owner. And Rabbi Oseh, the novelty over here is, this is Ledivrei HaKol. This is obvious, it's obvious according to Rabbi Shimon, right? Rabbi Shimon, who holds that you can get Hana from the donkey, even before you redeem it, it's clear that the donkey is the possession of the owner. But even according to Rabbi Hudol, you can't get Hana, halacha lemaisa, it is still considered to be the property of the owner. Therefore, again, when you redeem it, it remains the property of the owner. And if you were to steal it, you would have to pay kefil to the owner. Incredible. Let's go weiter. Achas bichar v'achas shelo brichas. Also, remember again, this is now going on the end of the Mishnah. So the end of the Mishnah, which was on Tes Amud Beis, spoke about this case where ultimately, I'll just read it to you. Achas bichra v'achas shelo bichra v'yalda shnei zcharim no sein tala echad l'koin l'koin zachar nekeva mafrish tala echad yatzmo. Okay, mina izim v'nichnas ladir lehis aser. So ultimately, you know, we'll say the halacha is that if you separated out this lamb to go out and serve as a redemption for the peter chamor, you put it in the pen to be tithed. So we're going to define what this case is right now. Says the Gemara. Tanya Rabbanan. Ketzer amru nichnas ladir lis asher. Lis asher. We'll say, when do we say that you put the sheep into the pen to be tithed? Se'iyata yochol lomar bebali yad kohen. Can't be talking about a sheep that was actually already given to a kohen, because if you gave the sheep to the kohen, shari shaninu, halokeach v'shenitin lo matana pater b'maiser behema. We'll say any sheep which was purchased or was given to him as a matana is pater from maiser behema. So what's the case? We'll say first wide line, yud alef amud alef, elo b'iso shahayu lo asara safek p'tiri chamorim b'soch b'iso. We'll say, watch this. Talk about an interesting case. A yisro, we'll say, you add 10 questionable, 10 suffake, pitre chamorim. Supposed to listen to this case. He has 10 suffake firstborn donkeys. Busy household. Right? 10 suffake firstborn donkeys. Supposed to say, so what do you do in such a case like this? Shemafrishalena sarasein. So you go out and you separate out 10 sheep, uma asrin, and you tithe those 10 sheep, vehein shalo. But I will say, ultimately, again, they belong to him. They, Rabbi Oseh, refers to the miser separated out. What does it mean when we say the miser? What do we say the miser belongs to him? Look at Rashi. It's about 8 lines up from the end of Rashi. V'hein shalom. V'ha-miser karev shlamim. V'hu och lo kedin shar miser behema. So Rabbi Oseh, in this case over here, where you're separating out 10 sheep out of Suffolk. Right? Again, remember, I have 10 safek pitre chamar. I separated out 10 sheep. I tied those 10 sheep, 1/10, right? I tied the 10 sheep, but I get to keep the tithe. How does he mean I keep the tithe? I keep the meiser. I offer it up as shlamim, and I am permitted to eat it. So the Gemara says, Meseli Rav Nachman. This supports Rav Nachman. So the Gemara says, what's Rav Nachman? Then Rav Nachman, Amar Baravua, Yisrael Shailos Asara Safik Pichi Chamorim. If Yisrael had 10 Safik firstborn donkeys, Mafi Shalein Asara Sein, you separate out 10 sheep, right? 10 sheep, Uma Asrin, and then you take Meiser from those 10, Behein Shalom. Rabbi said, but the Meiser animal belongs to the Yisrael. So again, remember, when we say Meiser animal belongs to the Yisrael, what that means is, you offer it up as a shlamim, and you're permitted to eat the meat. V'amr Rav Nachman, Amr Rav Baravu, Amr Shmuel, Sha'ayu lo asara pitche chamorim. Listen to this interesting case. It's the same idea. If a person had 10 firstborn donkeys, vadoin b'soch beso, so let's say I have ten legitimate firstborn donkeys. What happened? Now watch this. I inherited these 10 firstborn donkeys from who? From my maternal grandfather, who was a Kohen. Va'oso avi imo Kohen. And that paternal grandfather was a Kohen Naflulo, mi base avi imo Yisrael, and he in turn inherited them from his maternal grandfather. So what's the halacha? Mafrish alein asara sein, you separate out 10 sheep, uma asrin, and you tithe those sheep as well. Vehin shalo, but again, Abosai, the sheep, right, the tithe sheep is mine. When we say mine, I could offer it up as shlamim, and ultimately I could eat it. And we'll say a similar case, but this time not by sheep, but instead by produce. Tevalim mimurachin. I have, Rabbi said, grain, which has been smoothed. Now remember again, miruach means you smooth the pile. The reason why this is important is because produce only becomes subject to the obligation of tithing once the pile has been smoothed. I inherited them from who? From my maternal grandfather, who was a Kohen. And that maternal grandfather was a Kohen. He in turn inherited them. From who? From his maternal grandfather, who was a Yisrael. What's talacha? Ma'asrin, I have to tithe that produce. V'hein shalom, but I get to keep the produce. Therefore, I get to keep the tithe. Now, in that case, when we say I get to keep the tithe, I can't eat it, Rabosai, but what can I do? I can sell it. I can sell it to a Kohen. So we'll say, so same cases, just one was by a Petr Hamar, one was ultimately, again, by produce. So Tzvicha. And I need both cases. Why? Diashmuinen kamaisa, because if you would have just told me the first case by the behemoths, mishum de kamafresh bakai, because ultimately, again, they're separated, and it's clear that they're separated. Aval hacha, but we'll say in the case of the produce, matanu shalohormu, kimi shalohormu damyon. If the tithes have not been separated, then I will say, if they're not been separated, they're not been separated. And therefore, I would have thought that because they have been separated, therefore, maybe the Yoresh does not have any rights in them. Kamashan, that's not the case. That ultimately, again, although he can consume it, he can sell it. V'i ashmo inon hacha, de'efshar la'asuri minei, ubei de'hamanach aval hasa. And I will say, if I would have just said the case of the produce, I would have thought that's an easily remediable case because I could just separate out the produce and ultimately retain ownership by selling it to a Kohen. Aval hasan kevan deseme alman boy asuye mafish v'kaye emalo. But I will say in the case of the pigyon petach chamor, where I require something extraneous, i.e. a seh, maybe I shouldn't be able to go and it's quote-unquote keep the tithe, therefore tzvicha. Therefore, I will say the Gemara brings down both these cases to tell me that the solution of both is the same. I have to tithe. But I will say the novelty is I, the Yisrael, have the ability to keep the tithe. Keep the tithe does not mean I could just simply consume it. In the case of the animals, it means I could offer it up as a shlamin and then consume it as a shlamin. In the case of the produce, I could sell it to the Kohen. Amar Rabbi Shlomo bar Nasan, Amar Rabbi Chanina. Halokiach tevalim memurachin amadeis. Mina Ovid Kochamra, what's the interesting case? If I go ahead and I purchase produce which has been smoothed, so right, so we'll say, so we're gonna define what this case is. I am purchasing produce where the produce pile, I'm purchasing the produce from a non-Jew, from an Akum, and the produce pile has been smoothed. What's Talacha? Ma'asrin v'hein shalom. So ultimately, again, I tithe it, and now the produce belongs to me. So what does this mean? Demarchinu man. We'll say, where exactly is this produce being smoothed? Ilema demarchinu obikochavim. Say, if I say that this was produce that belonged to an akum, and the akum himself is smoothing it as well, then why would there be any chiyuv for trumas and maestras? After all, digan cha amrachmana velo digan ovid kochavim. Rebbe will say, what's the halacha? The halacha is that the obligation of trumas and maestras only applies when it's your grain, but does not apply to the grain of an ovid kochavim. So what's the case? Ella demarechinu Yisrael birishus ovid kochavim. So rather, what's happening over here? The Yisrael went ahead and what? He smoothed the pile, ultimately again, in the Rishus of the Ovid Kochavim. So look at Rashi for just a moment. De Amrechinhu Yisrael Birishus, changes it to Birishus, Ovid Kochavim, Shai Yisrael Oris. So we'll say, here's the case. The Yisrael was a sharecropper, and ultimately again, the Karka belonged to the Ovid Kochavim. So we'll say, there's an incredible novelty over here. What we're suggesting over here is that Halacha L'maisa, if I, the Jewish sharecropper, smoothed the pile of the akum, right? Smooth the pile of the akum, that pile will still be subject to trumas and maestras. We'll say, what does that mean? So the Gemara says, Mirshus Ovid Chamasran, why? De'ein kinyan la'ovid kochavim beretz Yisrael, lafkia miyad maeser. Wow. Because we'll say, this is reflecting the idea that what? That ultimately, again, an akum cannot have a king in an Eretz Yisrael, so as to go ahead and exempt produce from Trumas and Maestras. So if you have Gentile ownership of a land in Eretz Yisrael, that Gentile ownership does not in any way remove the Trumas and Maestras obligation from the produce, provided that the pile was smoothed by a Yisrael. So if the pile was smoothed by Yisrael, coupled with the fact that an akum doesn't have the ability to remove sanctity of produce in Eretz Yisrael, makes that produce subject to trumas and maestros. Pretty incredible. Vehein shalom. But Rabbi says, now watch the case over here. So just to understand the case. So it seems to be, what the Gemara is suggesting over here, is that if you had non-Jewish ownership over the produce, right, and over the land, and therefore the Akum smoothed the pile, there would be no Trumas and Maestras. Right? There would be no, I should say, there's no enforceable Trumas and Maestras. The Chiddush over here is that I have a Jewish sharecropper who is smoothing the pile, right, and ultimately, again, of the land, so remember, because he's a sharecropper, he has a share in the produce. The difference is the land belongs to the Akum. We're suggesting now that an Akum, Akum's ownership does not in any way have the ability to remove the Kedusha of the land. So therefore, when the Yisrael sharecropper smooths the pile, the produce becomes subject to Trumas and Maestras. But the Yisrael has the right to keep the Trumas and Maestras. So when we say that the Yisrael has the right to keep the Truma, what does that mean? Could he eat it? No, he can sell it. He has the right to sell. The Shmuel says it's a pretty big deal. He has the right to sell. Sell to who? To a kohen. He says, "Guys, sell to a kohen," but he has the right to choose to sell to a kohen. He has the right to keep the funds. And I was saying, "I watch this." Vein shalom. So the Yisrael gets the right to keep. Rashi says, "Vein shalom hachuma atzma umochra lekohanim." Why is that? The Gemara says, "The Amar lei because the Yisrael." I was saying, "Now what happens now? If you're a kohen, you're going to be righteously indignant about this. After all, give me my truma. You don't have the right to sell it to me. You have to give it to me." But what could the Yisrael say? Kasina mikach gavra tila matzis ishtai dina bahadei. I come from the koach of someone who you would have an unenforceable claim against. See what I'm saying? I watch this. What the Yisrael says to the kohen is, the produce that I have, it's true. You want to say that it's subject to trumas and maestras, that's fine. But I come from the owner of the land. The owner of the land is an akum. If you showed up at the akum's doorstep and demanded your trumas and maestras, what would the akum say to you? Go fly a kite. Right? Or something similarly polite, right? Go fly a kite. What are you talking about? Again, I'm an akum. I have no obligations towards you. You want to say, well, akum ownership cannot go ahead and remove the truma obligation of land. Fine and dandy. I'm the owner of this land. I have no time to read. Therefore, what the Gemara is suggesting over is as follows. that when the Yisrael sharecropper smooths this pile, so he creates ultimately an obligation for Truma. But since ultimately the coin would have an unenforceable claim, since if the coin were to go to the owner of the land and try to collect his Truma, Yaakov could say to him, go fly a kite. So the Yisrael Bosai has an obligation of Truma. He can't eat it, but he has every single right to sell it. He can't eat it, but he can sell it to whoever. And again, he can only sell it to a coin, but ultimately he's permitted to keep the proceeds. Look at Rashi. Rashi says over here, no Rashi. Good. So the Gemara goes weiter. Tanan Hasam. Here we go. Another interesting case. Hamafkin peros of Eitzel HaKusi. If I go ahead and I deposit fruits with a kusi, I must remember again, the kusi is the interesting individual. Why is the kusi unique? So remember again, we'll say kusi is this group of people who converted. But there's a whole shaila, is their conversion legitimate, not legitimate? So watch this. So a person deposits his peros with a kusi. Va'etzel ama'aretz. Or for that matter, by an ama'aretz. So we'll say, what's the halacha? Essentially, the Gemara saying is like this: if you deposit your fruit with the kusi with the naman aretz, there's a chazaka that what the kusi did not swap out your fruit for some other fruit. The amaretz, I was saying, why is this important? Because if there's a concern that the fruit was exchanged, then what happens? What happens? I have to retithe it, right? Or if it's shvius. Right, if it's a Shemitah year and the fruit was exchanged, then what? There's a serious concern that maybe what? Maybe this is Peros Shvius. To which the Gemara says, no, if you deposit your fruit with a kusi with an Ama Aretz, Biches Kasan, you do not have to assume that ultimately they were swapped out. The fruit you gave is the fruit you retrieve. However, Eitzel Obed Kochavim, Kiperosav. If you deposited fruit with an akum, and you come to retrieve that fruit, Rabosai, that fruit has the status of the fruit of the akum. Look at Rashi, Kipei Rusov, Shal Obed Kochavim, Devadei Chalfinu, V'tzarech Lahafrish Neimai. So Rabosai, this is a dramatically amazing halacha. But if you deposited the fruit with an akum, Rabosai, you must assume that what? The akum used up your fruit. Now the akum is a good guy, he's not going to steal your stuff. But what? He replaced it with his own fruit. Which Rabbi said, therefore means what? Therefore means what? Therefore means that halacha lamaisa, you would have to retithe it. And if it's Shemitah, you may be in some big trouble. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Shimon says, Dimai. Rabbi Shimon says, that halacha lamaisa, if you go ahead and you deposit your fruit with the akum, so that produce that you retrieve from the akum has to be treated like Dimai. To which the Gemara says, "I'm Rabbi Lazar." So Rabbi Lazar says, so "What exactly?" So we'll say, "So, what's the machlokes between Rabbi Shimon and the Rabbanon?" So I'm Rabbi Lazar. The hafresh kuli amalo pligi. So we'll say both Rabbi Shimon and the Rabbanon will say that when you retrieve your produce from the akum, you must go ahead and separate out trumas and maestros. Ki pligi. So we'll say, where do they argue? Litnon lekoein. Am I obligated after I retithe that produce that I got from the akum? Because now I have to retithe it. Why? 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 Because I assume that the akum went ahead and used up my stuff and substituted it with new stuff. So everyone agrees that I have to separate out truma. What's the machlokes? Do I have to give it to the kohen? Tanakama savar vadei chalfinu. Tanakama says the akum definitely used up my produce and therefore replaced it with his own. If it's his own, it's untithed produce. If it's untithed produce, not only do I have to separate that truma, but what? I have to give it to the kohen. Rabbi Shimon Saber Demai. Rabbi Shimon ultimately says that no, it's a suffik. It's a suffik. And because it's a suffik, Rabbi will say, therefore, look at Rashi. Demai. V'amotzi mechaveir alav arai. V'yisra mochel akoin as truma v'adam shlobo. So listen to this. Rabbi Shimon holds that it's possible that the akum substituted new produce for my produce. Therefore, I have to separate out, ultimately, again, truma again. But because it's a suffix, therefore, I will say, Hamotzi mechaver alav araya, it is the Kohen's job to prove that this truma really belongs to him, which in essence essentially means what? I can't eat the stuff that I separate, but I can what? I can sell it. I can sell it to a Kohen. Yosef Ravdimi v'kamar l'hashmaita. So Ravdimi was sitting and saying over this halacha, The reason why, according to Rabbi Shimon, ultimately again, it's called the Mai, is because we're not sure, did the Akum substitute his own produce for my produce or not? But if we were absolutely sure that the Akum substituted his produce for my produce, Everyone would agree that I have to separate out Truma and give it to the Kohen. I, Bahamar Rishon Bar Amri Chanina, Halokiach Tevalon Mina Ovid Kochavim, Mimurachin Ma'asrin Vehein Shalo. But ultimately, did we not learn that everyone agrees that what? That if you purchase Tevel, untithe produce from an Akum, then what's the halacha? Mimurachin, if you go and eat without the pile, what's the halacha? Ma'asrin, you have to separate out Truma, Vehein Shalo, and they belong to your boss. What does it mean, they belong to you? What does that mean? That you could sell it. Or it's yours that you could sell it, but you don't have to just give it. Does that not contradict what we just said before? We'll say, why would this case be any different, right? If you're telling me in a case where you mamish purchase the produce from the Akum, then I have to go ahead and I smooth out the pile. Therefore, what's that look? I have to separate out, but I could sell it. Why should that be different than this case over here? Maybe here's a distinction. Dilma, Kamachuma Gidola, Kambachumas Meiser. I will say maybe the difference over here is we're talking about two different cases. One is talking about Shuma Gidola, and one is talking about Meiser. Look at Rashi. But Shuma Gidola, actually, not yet. So the Gemara said, Askarsan Milsadan Rav Shuban Levi. Now that we mention this, we remembered something Rav Shuban Levi said before. Minayin lelokeach tevala memurach amina ovid kochavim, shupater b'chumas Meiser. From where do we know that if you purchase smoothed out produce from an akum, that you are pater from chumas meiser, shene'emar, ve'el halavim tedaber, ve'amar ta'aleim, ki tichu me'is b'nei Yisrael. Tvalim sha'at lokech me'b'nei Yisrael, atamafish me'en chumas meiser. It is only tevel that you purchase from a Yisrael, that a Levi is obligated to give chumas meiser from, v'nostan l'koin, Tvalim sha'at lokech mina ovid kochavim, but ultimately again tevel that you purchase from an akum, a Levi iata mafish mehen shumas meiser. A Levi would not be obligated to give shumas meiser v'nostan l'koyin. So we'll say therefore that's the distinction we make. When is there a machlokis ultimately again between the Tana Kama and Rabbi Shimon? That was only by Truma Gidola. Both say in the case of Truma Gidola, that's where the Tana Kama says, the Rabbanon say, that Allah l'maisa, if you go ahead and you get produce from an akum, that's the machlokis. Tana Kama says you have to separate out and give away the Truma Gidola. Rabbi Shimon says it's demai. You have to separate it, but you could sell it. But in the case ultimately again of Truma, but when it comes to Truma Smeiser, everyone will agree that what? Although the lady has to separate it out, ultimately, it is his to sell. That's the resolution. We'll say one last piece in the sugya. V'meis nanim. So let's remember again, so the Mishnah said that if the sheep dies, right? If the sheep dies, you can get hanah from it. So what is this talking about? D'mis hecha. We'll say, where is the sheep dying? Very important sugya. Where is the sheep dying? Ilema d'mis bekoin venena bakoin pshita. Mamona dideu. Well, say if you're telling me that if the coin has the sheep, in other words, the firstborn donkey has been redeemed, the sheep has been given to the coin, and then the sheep dies, and the Mishnah's telling me that what? That the coin could get hana from the sheep. Well, say, do I need the Mishnah to teach me that? That's obvious. That's pashut. It's the coin's property. Well, say, so what's the case? Ella, here we go. Demisbe bailim venana bakoin. Rather, what are we talking about over here? The sheep died in the house of the owners. We'll say, now watch this. I have a firstborn donkey. Mazel tov to me. I'm redeeming ultimately again that donkey for a sheep. I have the sheep set aside in my house. I have the sheep. It's ready. I'm about to give it to the kohen. What happens? The sheep, Bach Dynamis, dies. The misbeh bailim. The nana Bach kohen. So what's the novelty over here? What's the Mishnah's teaching me? That even though the sheep died in my home, the kohen can get hana from it. To which the Gemara says, Hanami Pshita. What's the Chiddush? I'll tell you the Chiddush. Here we go. Sakadai Tchamina, I would have thought, Kol Kamon Dolo Mataliyadei Lo Zachabei. Sirba say, I would have thought that when does the Kohen become the owner of the sheep only when it comes to his possession. Kamashmalon, get ready. Well said. This is an incredible chiddush. Kamashmalon, tibi idna de afreshe birshu say de kohen kai. Rabbi said the chiddush is that as soon as you separate out that sheep, whose property does it become? It becomes the property of the kohen. Rabbi said, do you understand the incredible earth-shaking chiddush that has just been advanced over here, Rabbi said? Under normal circumstances, metaltalin, right, only become property of someone else when there's some type of kinyan, hagbah, kesef, something. The chiddush, Rabbi said, is that aloha lemaisa, as soon as I set aside that sheep for the kohen, that sheep is his. Even though what? Where's the sheep? Where's the sheep? Sheep is in my house. And Rabbi said, what's the major nafkamina? Even if that sheep dies right then and there, it never reached the possession of the kohen. See, Rabbi said, I would have thought that if the sheep dies before it gets the possession of the kohen, kohanim, what would you say? Stand up for yourselves. Give me a, wow, that was fast, right? Give me a new one, right? I'm not taking a dead sheep. Give me a new sheep. I never got the sheep. You have an obligation to do? No. The halacha is as soon as I separate out the sheep, ultimately, again, that sheep is the property of the kohen. To the point that even if it dies, the kohen could get hana from it. Here's your dead sheep, Alan. Enjoy. Right? But halacha lemaisa, you cannot go ahead and claim a new, it's an incredible chiddush. Now he's in a chiddush. Listen, this is on Shulchan Aruch Paskins. This is in Sim Shin Chaf Aleph. We'll say, if you have some time today, Shin Chaf Aleph in your day is a good simin. Anything and everything you want to know about the halachos of Peter Chamor and more. Here we go. We'll say, it's the halacha. It's Sivvav. Miyad. Kishi Hifish Atala Tachas Peter Chamor. Right? Ultimately, again, we'll say, the moment I, the Israel, separate, designate this sheep to be ultimately, again, the redemption for my firstborn donkey, Chazer Apeter Chamar Chulun. Both say there's another important novelty in this. So you both say, here's the real novelty, which is exactly. The pidyon is effective the moment I go out and separate out the sheep. Now don't tell this to the people and make a big deal about the pidyon Peter Chamar ceremonies. Right? So you both say, in fact, the moment I designate the sheep is the moment that the Chamar is actually redeemed. I don't even need the coin there. I don't need the coin present. The moment I designate the sheep is the moment that ultimately the sanctity is off the chamar onto the sheep. Chazer hapeter chamar chulin. Afilu kodim shnasna lekoin. So I both say, so ultimately again, the chamar is going to be chulin even before I give the sheep to the kohen. Umutter lehanos bo. And I both say, ultimately again, it's mutter to get hana from the chamar. Again, the moment I designate the sheep, ultimately the sheep is going to be for the kohen and the chamor is chulin. Therefore, v'imeis lo yikaver. And therefore, we'll say, ultimately, again, if it dies, it's an obligation of kur. V'akohen zacha b'seh miyad. And the kohen, I will say, becomes the immediate owner of the seh. The moment I go ahead and designate it, even though what? Where is the seh? Where is the seh? The seh is in my house. And therefore, v'hu ba'achriyuso. And therefore, I will say, the kohen has full achrayis over the seh. The moment I designate the seh, even though the seh is sitting in my house, shemes piat bailim kodmim shenasna lekohen, ultimately, again, therefore, if the sheep dies while it's still in my house, it never even reached the hands of the kohen, peturim, I have no obligation for any type of replacement. The Rebbe said one last important ramification of this, lefichach, miyad kishem afrisho, the moment you go out and you separate out the seh, mevarich, asher, kidushana b'mitzosav, v'tzivanu, al pidyon peter chamar. I don't even need the coin to be present. Rather, the moment I go out and separate out that sheep, right? It's in my backyard. There's no coin. It's just me and the sheep. Me, the sheep, and the donkey. Just this mezumin, right? Me, the sheep, and the donkey. So again, the moment I separate out the sheep, number one, I can make the bracha. It says pidyon peter chamar. Number two, the donkey becomes chulin right then and there. Number three, the sheep becomes the property of the kohen. Number four, the kohen has full achrayis over the sheep. And therefore, number five, even if the sheep dies right then and there, that's the kohen's problem. I am no longer responsible. Shkach, we'll stop here. Pick up your Instagram at the Mishnah tomorrow. It's a birchas hamitzvah. If a person has kavon, if a person has, you know, the answer is, it becomes like any brachas mitzvah. You can, the mitzvah, brachos in a makvas. Absolutely. It becomes chal right then and there. What do you mean?